One of the things I noticed in this video was the guys are, like, there's different teams with different strategies, and the ones that are just kind of going along with a couple people being active and everybody else just kind of watching, they really suffered. They had a really hard time, had bad ideas, ended up, like, letting guys just drop in and the bridge broke and stuff like that. I was like, what a failure team, right? And then there's a team that has, like, the idea, hey, why don't we take our belts off since we all have a belt, work together, and they had a great plan. The others had to take some time, but they were able to figure out how to do it as well, even with the obstacles that were in their way. So there were some cool things for us to learn there in that video as far as how you and I operate, how we operate together actually as a church. Because as we talked about last week, God has a church for us to be involved in, but some people just think that you go to church. Anybody ever heard that? I mean, it's just how we use the word. You go to church. You go to church on Sunday. You go to church on Wednesday night. And we talk about a church being like a place that's a building. It has like a pointy steeple on the top. Our church very specifically does not have a pointy steeple on the top to make it look like that, because we want to help break that image of that's what a church is. The church is not the building. The church is a fellowship of believers who are committed to living their lives together in service to God. So if we are going to be a group of believers who are like this squad of guys up here, we've got to learn how to work together. We've got to learn how to communicate. We've got to learn how to contribute and not just be people that kind of sit back and watch something happen. If you're a Christian, you're part of a local church like Cornerstone, God desires for you to actually be actively involved in your local church, not just someone who watches things happen, someone who actually is part of what's happening. So tonight we're going to look at a passage in Romans 12. If you have your Bible, you can open up there in just a minute, not just yet, because what we're going to do tonight, I want you to take a moment. Hold on, not yet. You are going to spread out throughout the room with some of our leaders, get in some very small groups, and I want you to read through the passage together. It's Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. And I want you to read through it and then consider in your life, how is it that, like, what is the function that you have? If you thought of our church like that squad, that different team, if you were a member of that team, being Cornerstone Baptist Church, what is your function in the team? What is your job? What is it that you are to do? What do you have to bring? What do you have that you can, you know, like a metaphorical belt that you can contribute to what the team is doing so that we can be successful as a whole? So we're going to take about 10 minutes. I want you to get into some groups. You have freedom. I'm not going to force you into certain groups. Try not to have enormous groups. We got plenty of leaders here tonight. Thank you, leaders, for being here. So I want you to get with one or two leaders, small group, read through the passage together, and then discuss what you think may be your function on our team known as Cornerstone Baptist Church. All right? Sound good? All right. Go ahead and break into your different spaces. Okay, so now you are familiar a little bit with the passage. You've had a little bit of time to begin thinking about this on your own. Oh, let me grab this. So, one of the images that he put in this passage talked about how we are one body. And this is an image that is used throughout the New Testament of the church. And it is something that we talked about at Creed Camp this year. So if you went to Creed, one of the images that we used when we talked about being one church is this idea that we are a body. Now, obviously the body is not composed completely of any one organ, any one thing. You know, it's great that we are not completely made of thumbs. If you guys ever watched the movie Spy Kids, you saw these robots that were called Thumb Thumbs. And it was literally like legs of thumbs, arms of thumbs, and a head of thumbs. It was only thumbs, and they were like useless, okay? Not very helpful in anything. So in a similar way, our bodies, thankfully, are not made of any one thing. Instead, bodies are composed of multiple parts, and these parts work together to benefit one another. So, you know, for instance, if you are going to breathe, you have muscles in your face that help to open up your mouth. If you've been running and you're like, okay, your mouth is working together. Your lungs are inflating and deflating. It is pushing oxygen into your bloodstream. Your heart is pumping that throughout your body so that your muscles can function, so that you can move and run out of the way of a burning building or something like that. You know, if there's some kind of danger, in order to preserve the entire body, these things have to work together. If the heart just decides, I'm not going to work today, I don't feel like it, everything suffers because of it. If your lungs just decide, I'm not going to work anymore, that's a major problem, okay? We would all, I mean, in a non-required way, I mean, how many of you are right-handed? Raise your right hand. All right, if you're left-handed now, raise your left hand. Cool. So, here's the thing. So, the majority of us have one hand dominant. So, if you lost your non-dominant hand, it would not affect my ability to write something. But it would affect my ability to type something. Huh? Right, or tie my shoe. I actually knew a guy in college who was born with a deformity where his legs didn't develop properly. And so, I mean, the guy had like ultra muscle arms and core and all of this kind of thing and would like walk around on his hands because he like did not have developed legs. Now, he was able to overcome that, but it definitely put him in like a compromised position if there was a fire in the building and we were all trying to evacuate like 1,000 people through a stairwell. That would be really dangerous, okay? So here's the thing. If we think about our bodies, it is optimal for all parts of the body to be working, to be doing their function, that thumbs are not trying to be noses and ears are not trying to be eyes and those kinds of things. If any of those things try to do the other's job, it's probably not going to work out so well. I mean, you can, your nose and your mouth have like a combination of smell and taste that they work together a little bit. But pretty much nothing else in your body is going to do that job really well, except your armpits, because they probably smell, right? Different kind of smell. So we have to work together. And he uses this image of the body. He says, as in one body, we have many members, and members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So if you are a Christian, you are called to be part of a church, like we talked about last week, but also that you are called to actually do something as part of that church. So our first point, excuse me, we need to move through that. We already did that. All right, every church, every Christian belongs in a church, belongs to a church. So this is why we talk about it's important for you to be involved in student ministry, to be involved when we have service projects. Because while, yes, it is true that you are most likely going to learn things at Lyft, in Journey Group, in Trek, you also have something to bring to that group. And so if you are not connected to a local church, you miss out on the benefit of everyone else's function in the body. That if the thumb is not connected to the body, it misses out on receiving the oxygen that the heart and the lungs and the mouth would all be working to provide to it if it was connected to the body. And so what happens to a severed thumb? Yeah, it dies. And so if we do not want to like spiritually decay and become less than optimal, less than what we can be, if we disconnect from the church, that's naturally where our life is going to lead, because we've been deprived of all of the things that we need, which God has designed the church to provide for us. So I think about when we go to Creed camp, all right? You guys go to Creed, and one of the questions I get every single year is, Pastor Scott, which rec team am I on, and who else is on my rec team that I know? And what you guys don't know is that a few weeks before Creed camp, we get like all the youth pastors together through Google Hangout online, and we put together all of the teams with like 250 people. And so we are in there advocating for you and going, all right, this person really gets along with them. That's their friend. And this person, this person really brings to this team like some great team spirit. This person is going to be a good strategy person. This person's really athletic and tall, or this person's really fast. Or I mean, we work through those things so that when we put together a team of 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 people, we've worked through some of those things. And we try to make those teams as good as possible without saying, this team is going to be full of people who are super excited, they're all athletic, super smart, and communicate really well. I mean, yeah, it'd be great. But then everybody who has a deficiency in one of those, which is pretty much all of us, we would miss out. We'd all be really discouraged, man. So we try to build those teams together so that we can have a good time, so that you can meet new people, but also so that you can have a chance to grow and have other people help your team to do well. So every Christian is called to belong to a particular church because you have something to contribute. So all these teams are out there, but if we said, all right, find your teams, all right, navy blue paisley, y'all are here. Orange, y'all are here. Yellow, you're here. Green, you're over here. We'd have all of these different groups get together, and they would be able to compete, to function together well. So I want to challenge you, find a church, and I hope that it's Cornerstone. Listen, I think Cornerstone is a great church. It's part of why I'm here, right? I think it's a great church. I hope it's part of why you're here, is that it's a great church. Do not just sit in the back and watch our church function. Be part of it, okay? Because every Christian has a function in the church. This is what he says here in the text. Every Christian has a function in the church. God did not save people so that they could immediately go to heaven to be with him. Most of the time, that's not how that works. Most of the time, people do not just wait until they're about to die and then say, all right, now I'll get saved. Now that misses the point. God is building in us and through us his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so you are called to be part of a local church and to do a function in it. He talks in verse 6, he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith. He's the gift of prophecy that he's talking about is not necessarily foretelling things that are going to happen in the future, which is oftentimes in America what we think of as, you know, the prophecy has come true, you know, in some movie or something like that. That's not necessarily what he's talking about. Prophets in the Old Testament often didn't just talk about what was going to come true. They were people who spoke on behalf of God to the people of God and called them to repent of sin. Often what Old Testament prophets, if you read through the books of Isaiah, if you read through, I mean, Jonah's kind of about Jonah, but his entire thing, y'all can think of the story of Jonah. He was sent to a particular city. He sent to Nineveh. Why? Because they had lived in sinfulness and utter rebellion to God, and the wrath of God was going to come on that city. And so he calls for their repentance. So he calls for something, and it's a prophecy that was going to come true. But the people repented, and that was the point of the prophecy. When we read here about prophecy, it's almost more of those who preach, those who speak convicting from God's word, that they should do this. And he says to do this in proportion to our faith. If service in serving one another. So the gift of service. Some of you guys are great at just serving. You look for opportunities to help, to jump in, to see where there's something that you can do. And it takes a lot of people working together in service to be able to do things. This week, for instance, y'all probably won't see a whole lot of it on Sunday because there have been some people working really hard on it this week. But we like tore out all the stuff in that upstairs balcony area where all the tech stuff typically is like gone now. It's not there anymore. Your stuff too. Yeah, all the live streaming, it's not there anymore. Yeah, it's all gone. Because in order for us to be able to expand that balcony area so we can reach more people with the gospel, we had to be able to remove all that stuff so that the demolition crew can come in and tear it all out and build in the new space. So people have been working this week in practical ways to serve our church as a large. Because listen, there's a lot of people in our church who are not able to carry some of the things me and Mr. Justin were carrying up and downstairs yesterday. I mean, there are like heavy amplifiers that were upstairs that could not stay there. Okay, but me and Mr. Justin were able to serve our church as a whole, and so the entire church is going to benefit from that. People who aren't even part of our church yet, one day that they're going to come and sit in the balcony, God's going to speak to their heart through his word, convict them of sin, call them to repentance, and they'll place their faith in Christ. And part of what went into making that possible for them to have a place on that Sunday morning when they came leads back to all the work that had to be done in order for that to be accomplished. And so he says here, those who have the gift of serving, use that gift. Don't be lazy. Look for ways that you can serve. Some of y'all do a great job on Wednesday nights, for instance, of helping to pick up things, helping to clean up stuff, resetting chairs. A lot of you don't. Now, here is a thing with this. As we get into gifts, some of these are easier to tell and others are a little more difficult. Let me caution you. Do not just say, I don't have the gift of service, therefore I'm off the hook. I don't have to ever serve anyone. Or, I don't have this gift of prophecy, you know, of preaching, teaching the word of God, sharing that with others, so I never have to do that. No, 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 no. That's not how that works. But some have like a large talent to be able to do certain things. If you've ever, how many of you, let me ask, this is kind of a dated question. How many of you have ever seen the movie Bug's Life? A Bug's Life. Okay, great. This is awesome. Okay, so in A Bug's Life, you have all these ants, and they are collecting food. Well, real ants, there are different, like, classes of ants and what they do. Some of them are to go out and bring in food. Some of them take care of the larvae that are in the ant mound, and they make sure they're not too hot, they're not too cold, they're not too moist. You've got the queen who has the job of laying the eggs. You have the soldier ants that are tasked with, like, protecting the colony from other bugs and things like that. They all have functions. Now look, if the mound is under attack, every single one of them is going to come after you like they're a soldier ant, and they're going to try and sting the fire out of you, right? Because everybody's got to jump in on that at that time. If there's a flood, all the ants have got to, like, move the little baby larvas because otherwise they're all going to drown, all right? So just because you don't have a, like, special ability in something doesn't mean you just get to say, whoa, that's not me. I never have to do that. And he talks about one who teaches, let him teach. One who exhorts, that is to encourage in a very strong manner, to call to confession a lot of times. He says to do that in exhortation. The one who contributes, that is to give. He says, give with generosity. And that's a little bit what we'll talk about next week. And then the one who leads with zeal. Zeal is like enthusiasm times 10. Zeal is like a combination of enthusiasm with, like, oh my goodness, just conviction and a real heart for something. Some of you guys, your zeal, okay, you are zealous, which is like the adjective version of that. You are zealous about sports, all right? And like if I called out your team, you'd be like, woo, yeah, all right, they're awesome. Okay, and you'd be all about, like, making fun of my Gators and how great they are and how terrible you think they are. Yeah. Now, see, y'all seem to have opinions about that. You've got a little bit of enthusiasm. Zeal is like having a desire for people to respect the name of God to the point that it draws you to actually say something when somebody goes, oh my God. You go, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not talk about God like that. To be zealous for God. To have zeal means that even when it's not comfortable for you to do what is right, that you have the conviction and you are enthusiastic about that to the point where you will go ahead and do what is right, even though it's not necessarily cool, fun, whatever. So he says to give with zeal. And this is really interesting because we can give but hold back. And what I mean by this is that we can give in a way that it is not full of joy, is not glorifying to God, and it's just done out of some kind of obligation or something. And like I said, we'll talk about it more, but he tells them, those, if you've got the assets to be able to give, you ought to do that with zeal. And he says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Acts of mercy are giving unto someone and helping someone who is in a form of need. To be merciful, to see someone in a position that you would not wish upon yourself, and to love that person in that place. He says, do that with cheerfulness. I think some of us, when we're given that type of opportunity to love someone in that kind of a position, maybe God works in our heart and kind of puts that, yeah, you should go and do something about that. Our spirit kind of like rolls its eyes. Anybody else ever done that before? You're like, God, I don't want to do that. Like, that would mean I have to get up and actually do something. Yeah, I've definitely been there before. I mean, goodness, last night Miss Megan was like, all right, you need to brush your teeth before we go to sleep. And I was like, oh, but I'm comfortable. I already laid down. I've got the covers. Like, I just want to sleep. We can have that attitude toward other people. No, but she does. Listen, you don't get caught up on that. Pay attention to the point. The point is that we can not care about others so much, and maybe we'll do the thing, but we don't do it with cheerfulness. Maybe we'll help somebody out of some kind of obligation or sense of guilt or something like that. Oh, if I don't do this, I'm like a terrible person, so I guess I'll do it. Or we do it so that other people see us and that they think better of us. Oh, I better help this person, because if I don't, someone else is going to see it and they're going to think less of me. We got to be real careful about our motives. And so he challenges to be cheerful in the ways that we treat others. So we all have a function in the church, and he's given us a list. There's more things than just this that God can gift you with. But the interesting thing about this gift is that every Christian has a contribution to the church. A contribution to the church. Usually when we talk about contributions, we're talking about giving some money or something. That's not what I'm talking about this week. What I'm talking about is that you are given a gift so that you can use that gift for the benefit of others. Let me say that again. You are given a gift so you can use that gift for the benefit of others. There's an old story about a village that was in the middle of a land that was going through a terrible famine. And so everyone was really hungry. No one was wanting to share. Everyone kept to themselves. And so this man went into the town square, and he started a small fire. He put a big kettle on top of it, and he went and picked a few herbs, and he got some water, and he put it in there. And then he did something very strange. He went down to a creek and got a big rock and put it in the pot as well. Everybody was looking at him. They were like, what are you doing? And so this old man comes up and he's like, hey, Sonny, what you doing? And he says, oh, I'm making some soup. It's like, oh, what you got in there? And he said, okay, got some oregano, and I got some some salt and pepper going on, and I got my stone, right? And they're like, okay, well, not going to get very far with that, but you know what? I've got a couple of really old carrots that are kind of measly and stuff. You could have those, I guess, if you want. And so he went and got them, put them in. Stirs the pot up. A little while later, a lady comes up and says, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm making stone soup. What have you got? Well, I've got herbs, I've got salt and pepper, and I've got carrots, and I've got my stone. She says, that's not very much. You really need, if you want a soup, one of the necessary ingredients has got to be, celery. So let me get you some celery. I don't even like celery, but I've got it. I don't know why. It's one of those things that just shows up in your fridge, and I don't know. So she goes and gets celery, adds it in. He stirs it up. This continues, and the people are gathering around to see what is going to happen. The guy ends up getting some potatoes, which are you got to have some potatoes, right? He's got some potatoes going on. He finally gets a little bit of chicken, and he's like, all right, now it's coming together. And these people who have been so stingy and holding on to all their stuff on their own have now gathered together. Each one has brought something that they had, and because of it, they're able to make something better than they could have on their own. None of them could have made chicken soup on their own. But they believed in it. They had something that they were coming together around. I mean, the stone was useless, right? Nobody just got a giant, spoonful of rock and ate that. But they came together around something. You may have heard this story before, but it illustrates a great point that each of us is not just given a gift. You don't just have a gift, a special thing that God has given to you just so you can show off, just so you can think that you're pretty cool, just so you can hoard it to yourself, just so you can make a bunch of money off of it. No, God has given you things that you can do for the benefit of the local church. Look at what he says there in verse 6. He says, let us use them, these gifts. Let us use them to use the gift God has given you for the benefit of the whole body. Maybe you've never thought before we had our groups earlier, you've never thought about what your function is, what you have to contribute to the local church. But listen, focus here. If you are a follower of Christ, he has given you a gift. You may not have developed it yet. You may be working on it. You may not know what it is yet. God has given you a gift for the good of the local church. Use your gift for God's glory. Use your gift for God's glory. So, for instance, we have this week and many of the weeks that will be going on over the course of the next year while we're going through this project, we have different people who are going to be working in different ways. People who have financial ability that help our church to be able to figure out all the numbers of what it's going to take. Oh, thank you. That's stone soup. So we have people in our church who have, for instance, Mr. Henry, you guys may know him. He's got a tractor, right? He's got a tractor. And one of the things that we're doing for First Fruits is kind of a building and dedication to the Lord of our project. And so as we were talking about it, we said, you know what? It would be great for us to take the stone that's typically in front of the worship center and take it out there to the field as a reminder for our church body of God's faithfulness over all these years. To be able to remember what our cornerstone is not that piece of granite. It's Jesus Christ, that everything that we build in our lives, not just a physical building, but what our lives are about, is all based off of him. Well, that's a big rock. And I know I look pretty strong, but guys, I tried to push it for like an hour and I couldn't get it anywhere. Mr. Henry, Pastor Kai called him like late yesterday afternoon, and when I got here this morning, it was gone. It was like already out there in the middle of the field. He used literally like his tractor was something God had given him in his life. He used it for the benefit of the local church. So it may be stuff that you have. It may be friends and connections that you have. It may be the abilities that you have to be able to speak, or like I said, to work with numbers, or like I said earlier, to serve and just help. Every single person who is a member of God's church has a gift. You just have to learn how to use it for his glory. So your practical takeaway this week, you've got some room there. I want you to think about this. Spend some time this week praying and asking God to help you recognize how he's gifted you. Spend some serious time thinking about this, praying to God. A great idea, if you're interested, maybe after some time, ask some of maybe our leaders who have a little bit of wisdom and insight that they can see into your life, that they can think about it and go, I think you do a great job with this. Or maybe they can help share how they've found how God's gifted them in their life. The odds are that you've got more than one thing that God's gifted you with that you can use for his glory. So find what those ways are that God has gifted you, and then use that for his glory.